We want to welcome to, this is our first seminar, so give your yourself a hand because you made it here. Dense un aplauso porque se levantó temprano y está aquí. We are privileged to have Pastor Katie Lance. Estamos con mucho gozo de tener hermana Katie Lance. She is the lead pastor of Thrive Church in Michigan, la pastora dirigente de la iglesia Thrive in Michigan. También trabaja translocal, ayudando y coachando a plantadores de iglesias. She also works as, serves as coaching church planters. She loves partnering with her husband. Le encanta trabajar en el ministerio con su esposo, Randy. Is Randy here? Thank you, Randy, for what you do. Gracias, hermano Randy, por su... You know, we're very grateful. When we serve in ministry as women, you have no idea the support system that our husbands represent. So if you're a husband, thank you. Thank you for your commitment. Yes, give him a hand. And if you see somebody throughout the conference, please say thank you. Whether it's a female or male, we need to recognize our spouses because they make a lot in ministry, even though they don't have a title. So make sure that you say somebody else. Don't tell your spouse. Your spouse will get something, really. I hope that everybody gets a thank you. And you raise two boys, Simon and Levi. I don't know if they're here. I really hope you guys are awesome. Supporting mom, waking up.
Oh,
well, you guys already are in my top 10 list, okay? My son is still in bed, okay? So, oh boy. Yes.
I bribed them with donuts.
Oh boy. You need to teach me some tricks. Necesita enseñarme a la hermana Katie some tricks. Okay, so I'm going to pray. Voy a orar. And then I'm going to head over there. Me voy para allá. So I can translate for them. Para traducir. Sometimes it might be a little bit, because we have a small room. Como estamos en un cuartito chiquito. You might hear my voice. Puedes escuchar mi voz. But it's okay. In heaven, it's going to be wonderful. Okay?
Right.
En el cielo va a ser maravilloso. Pero mientras eso pase, por lo menos aguantémonos, nos aguantamos un poquito. Let's pray. Heavenly Father. Padre Celestial, we are so grateful. Nos sentimos tan agradecidos por el privilegio de servirte, for the privilege to serve you. Thank you for every man and woman in this place. Gracias por cada mujer y cada hombre en este lugar. Thank you for your call to ministry. Gracias por el llamado al ministerio. Lord, in this moment we pray for an anointing word from Pastor Katie. Oramos por una palabra de unción de parte de la hermana Katie. We know that you've been speaking to her heart. Sabemos que tú has estado hablando a su corazón. And in this moment, y en este momento, we pray, oramos, that you will use her as a vessel of blessing. Que puedas utilizarla como un canal de bendición. To you be glory and honor. A ti sea toda la gloria y toda la honra. And all God's people say, todo el pueblo de Dios dice, amen. There are some chairs here, so if you want to come, si habla español, allá nos vemos en la esquina. And if you have a chair, I am so sorry to ask you this, but I know that, thank you, and I'm gonna, you know, I can take all that
How
stuff later.
How wonderful is this? We're running out of room.
Yeah, the other one ran out of room.
Remember, when Jesus taught, they were packed in the house and for miles beyond. So, I'm not Jesus. Let's start there. Hold on a second. That might not have been the thing to say. Well, good morning. My name is Katie Lance. I am first a wife to my awesome husband, who is our executive pastor at our church, but also my tech guy. Yep. He's amazing. He serves in the marketplace as well as a software engineer, and to my two boys who are here, Simon and Levi, so grateful for your support. Simon said, Mom, you get to talk to people about God and men and women working together this morning. Go get it. I was like, oh, who's raising you? Who is your mother? She's doing a good job. That is my prayer. I've been praying so much for each of you. I didn't know your names and faces, but I've been praying for you that this morning the Holy Spirit would speak to you even one thing that would help you grow in your understanding and application of kingdom fullness as we work in this mission of God together. My dream and God's dream is that one day we don't have to have seminars like this, that it won't be a surprise to my children when people don't know how to work together. And so we get to work. Are you ready to get to work? I know it's early. I hope you have coffee. Is there coffee in the back? There's water. Okay, let's just pray. Holy Spirit, come on. Come on. We need you. We need you. We're going to end it right at 9:45 this morning. My cards are on the table and in the counter in the back. I'll be available afterward to talk and to connect at other times. This is such a multi-layered conversation that it cannot be done in 45 minutes. So what is the simple, basic thing that the Lord has been asking and putting on my heart to share with you? And to be honest with you, some of it's just going to come in the moment because he's here. Who in the church, who in the room is on staff at a church? Great. And who is in a lead pastor or executive pastor role? Great. And who is family or spousal support? Wow, great. We're like 50-50. Thank you so much for all of your service and sacrifice. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Why don't we pray? Heavenly Father, we come to you and we say this is your time. If anything is to come out of my mouth that is not of you, Lord, block the people's ears. And if it is of you, Lord, I ask you to seed truth in their heart. That you grow that uniquely from my mouth to these ears. May your kingdom advance and be equipped and unleashed in all people empowered by your Holy Spirit. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. Ephesians 1:15. All in all, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you and remembering you in my prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in your knowledge of him. I love that. Not strategy. Not multiplication plan. Your knowledge and depth of intimacy and growth with him. I ask that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. This has been my prayer for you. So that you may know the hope of his calling, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. That's the church. And the surpassing greatness of his power to us who believe. And God put everything under his feet and made him head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The fullness of God into motion is in all and all. That is us here this morning. Few things, so we're on the same page this morning. I just want to say, we are experiencing some kingdom fullness this morning. Kingdom fullness is not just men and women in this topic. This topic is, kingdom fullness is not just about men and women working together. It's about lay and clergy. And it's about multi-ethnicity, diversity in one in the spirit. Today we happen to talk about the segment of the pie that is men and women working together. And so the first thing we need to get across is this time is not about women. If you came here to hear a woman's pastor speak to women, we're missing the point. Okay? This is a leader and a pastor by the grace of God, sharing God's word and truth, God's desire and design for the truth through his word for his church, that we would work together in kingdom fullness, okay? So I'm speaking to leaders, pastors, families, because everybody in this room is a disciple who's called to make disciple makers, which means kingdom fullness DNA needs to be in you. And in here we have a translation where multiple people, everybody in this room, bienvenidos, can understand together. And it may look different and you may hear some talking, but kingdom fullness culture comes with a cost. It comes with getting uncomfortable. Now's your time to exit. If this is, let's get to work, yeah? Okay, so kingdom fullness. I'm a nurse of 15 years. I worked in progressive care, ICU, and cardiac med surge. This was a huge ministry for me, best ministry training I ever could have gone through, being in the marketplace, and now I serve as lead pastor of and planter of Thrive Church, with partnering in ministry with my husband and my children. In the church, through the last 15 years of ministry, I've experienced a deficit of kingdom fullness. And I just, let me say, I love the church. I believe in the church. I believe in the expression of the church through the Wesleyan church. And this morning I'm talking to Wesleyan family. So I'm going to go a little deeper and a little more specific because it's us. But when I talk to multi-denominations, I keep it broader because who are we speaking to? That's we're Wesleyan family, so we're going to go a little specific, okay? In my experience within the Wesleyan church, where our foundation is based in men and women equipped and called by the Holy Spirit, sent by the Holy Spirit in their gifting to work side by side together, I'm seeing a deficit here. So as a nurse, I take everything medical. We need a bunch of different vitamins and minerals to keep our body functioning well. We need everything from vitamin K and magnesium. Without those, our heart rhythms don't work. Hormones, different things. So let's take women in ministry, just this small slice, and I say we have a vitamin D deficiency. So when the body is working, all systems are needed. All systems are functioning at high. But when we have a deficit, when we have an issue, it needs a little bit more attention because we have to be intentional with getting that back up to par so we can keep going. We can keep thriving. We can stay healthy and do what our bodies are intended to do, right? And so what I see is a vitamin D deficiency. And so we have to have spaces and conversations like this that help us say, okay, what are we going to do to supplement that deficiency so that we can keep the body fully functioning, equipped, and going? Okay? And we'll come back to that in just a little bit. I can put up with a lot. I got grit. By the grace of the Holy Spirit, I don't die easy. My husband, God bless you, 21 years working together. What I noticed is that God was bringing me to places in my call that when I was turning around and equipping others to come behind me and follow in these places, I was not seeing people like me able to come into the same places that I was. And so I was going into certain environments and certain groups and often was the only woman or the only pastor who happened to be a woman in these groups and saying what was happening when I was inviting others and they wouldn't come, they wouldn't stay, they wouldn't enter on their own. And that for me as an equipper and a sender and a multiplier was unacceptable. What I saw was something is keeping the church from being fully effective, which means it needs our urgent attendance now. This is only a piece of my calling. I am not here to just be a woman's advocate. I am here to advocate for the church through God's grace and to call us to more. I believe that God has made us holy as a church. And yet he continues to call us to become holy along the way. We're Wesleyan. That's sanctification. God's calling the church to continually, generation by generation, to be sanctified. So we have to begin to have conversations like this locally, in all areas that we have influence, corporately like this, and have it become normal to be stirring the waters with this conversation until we don't have to have this conversation anymore. And until the Lord brings that, and I don't care if it's 10, 20, 30, 40 years until I'm dead, I believe he has called us all to speak life into the church. And that means we need both our women and our men to be fully engaged, all on board to do this, because we cannot do it with one or the other. And so one of the biggest things I hope you take from this time is that we need men leading and equipping men and women. And we need women leading and equipping men and women. And our leaders need to be following men and women. It's essential because until we do that, we are still separated by our gender. And if we play that out, that means ultimately that we will need to have, for a thriving local expression of the church, an all-female leader and staff, and an all-male leader and staff. And I don't see that in Scripture. I don't see it. Please come talk to me if you do. This is a layered conversation. Kingdom diversity, the other main challenge that I think would be on the forefront would be multi-ethnicity. I think we can all agree, even people who don't believe in God can agree that racism is wrong, right? With women in ministry, there are denominations who theologically stance that women should not be in all levels of leadership by their gifting from the Holy Spirit. This will be a conversation that will never go away on earth until the kingdom, until Jesus returns and we're all home with the witness of saints, right? Okay. However, that cannot be a reason for us not to have the conversation. That cannot be a reason for us not to continue to engage and break down those barriers. That's actually, we'll get to barriers in a little bit, but that's actually one of the main barriers as to why we aren't pressing into this and seeing a lot of growth corporately is because it's so layered and complicated and it doesn't have a clear answer and it requires us to really listen and obey to the Holy Spirit. And that requires energy. And ministry is exhausting, baseline. Even if it's good, even when it's great, it's hard. But it is worth it. It is worth it. There can be a lot of trauma when it comes to this topic. And one thing I've learned in this journey in the past few years, specifically in listening and sitting with many of my brothers in leadership, is that the trauma isn't only with women. It's with our brothers, too. And so for you in the room, if you come to a place where it's just too upsetting or you're feeling triggered, I welcome you to pray. I welcome you to step out, take your breath. I'm writing a book right now that will be out later in 2023, Kingdom Fullness, Men and Women Thriving Together in Ministry. And I can't encourage enough prayer in this journey. And in that time, to take the time to let the Holy Spirit minister to your heart step by step. But here, we're in the next 40 minutes. So pray harder. There's great risk in having this conversation for women for multiple reasons. But women, I just want to say to you, pastors and leaders who are women, not female pastors, pastors who are women and leaders, this is possible. This is possible. God would not ask us to do something that he wouldn't make a way for. This is hard. And your trauma is real. And you are seen. And God loves you. And your call is real and legitimate, and so is your wounding. And we can't let that stop us. Because God has called you. Let no man, mankind, get in the way of that. There are so many brothers, and I have a feeling that the brothers, many of the brothers in this room, are for women in ministry in all leads and roles. And so the biggest question I'm seeing now is how? How do we do that? And I want to get into that, but the book will really break down into a lot of like how we actually do that together. So as Christians in the church, we can all agree on the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. Yeah? Any denomination can be. Yeah, Great Commission, Great Commandment, go team. We are unified by one Spirit, and as a Wesleyan family, our theology aligns us in every way. And so Whether you're here because you're curious, whether you're here because you have doubts, whether you're here and the Holy Spirit is wrestling with your heart because you really foundationally don't believe that you can work side by side with someone of the opposite gender and have it be healthy and safe. Whether you're here because you're wanting to be equipped to lead a team and develop multipliers who will have that kingdom fullness DNA, we are one. We are not each other's enemies. The enemy, the great deceiver, would love for us to believe that we are against each other. And so when we look at someone who we have been wounded or hurt or they don't understand, we cannot give the credit to them. We have to remember who is trying to divide, and we have to step in, actually, instead of stepping back. So I'd love for us to say the Lord's Prayer together this morning. And I know that there's more versions with sins or debtors or trespasses. It doesn't matter. Let's say it together in one spirit so that we can really know that when we're stepping into this conversation, that we are doing it as one. Okay? Our Father, who is in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, and glory forever. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my men servants and maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
That's right.
Okay. For all who are baptized in Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ, and neither you are Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, you are all one in Christ Jesus. As Reverend Turner Bell said last night, we are hiding behind the cross.
Amen.
I love that. Not by might or by my power, but by the Holy Spirit, the great helper, the great counselor, the great comforter. If we don't believe these things, we can't have this conversation. Ephesians 4:11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining the whole measure and fullness of Christ. We have to figure kingdom fullness out, or the body will remain immature and it will remain ineffective. God has called us to be holy and become holy. So we step into what his desire and design for his church is. All of this life is about salvation and sanctification. Two things. Crossing the line of salvation and helping people to reconcile and back into relationship with God. Two, sanctification. Growing more and more into the likeness of Christ until we get called into full glorification in heaven. Yes? Okay, we are all called as believers to make disciples who make disciple makers. Yes? Okay. And as believers, our job is to say yes to God endlessly and relentlessly. Our job is to get out of our comfort zone by the power of the Holy Spirit and get out and say yes to God. And as leaders and pastors, our job is to help others identify their purpose and help them say yes to God every step of the way. We need to have a denomination and churches and local churches and pastors who are stepping into helping everyone without partiality and know how to do it well to make that possible. In the church, as corporate, we are missing the mark on kingdom fullness. Missing the mark in Hebrew is hamartia. That's sin. Sin leads to death. We need to call it what it is so that we can take it to Jesus and let Him do what He does best so that we can confess and repent and move forward. All of us. Slash, slash, slash. I received my call to formal ministry. Absolutely terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. Anybody relate to that? Okay. You don't need a uterus to be terrified of following God in the call of formal ministry. My goodness. So I said yes. Taking steps to go through flame back when it was in the camp meetings. Anybody? Yeah? Okay. And how am I going to do this? I had a 1- and a 3-year-old going to classes. What does this look like? Call in general, just terrifying. I came home, and we were serving in a church plant at the time, and there was an associate pastor / worship pastor role open in the church I was in, and at the previous church plant I had served as kind of a co-associate pastor role and a worship leader. And my husband, who believes in me before I even believe in myself and tells me to, kicks me out of the nest before I think I can fly, he said, get in there. Start asking questions. If God's called you to this, you better get in there. Okay. So I go in and I start asking questions with the lead pastor. And he says, Katie, I'm going to stop you right now. I can tell you I won't be hiring a woman for this role because we'll be working too closely together. That was my first step into me saying yes to God, even in the Wesleyan Church. That same week, someone that I was at Flame with, who was also there with her 1-, 3-, and 5-year-olds, was on volunteer base as an associate pastor in their church for 4 years, and their church had received funding to hire officially a formal associate pastor. And the lead pastor told her that because it would now be formal, it would be inappropriate for them to work that closely together because they would need to travel and everything. And she was released from that role. That was the day after I experienced that call. And I was just gripped. What does this mean? What does this mean? How did we get from kingdom fullness by God's design and desire to beginning a relationship with fear that it would be unwise and unsafe to work closely together because we are opposite genders? God takes our misery and uses it for our ministry, yeah? Okay. I wish that it had changed, but the next 15 years just kind of layered in that same pattern. And I had a leader say to me recently, like an executive leader say, you know, I think things have really come around for women in ministry and us working together. And I said, I have to respectfully disagree. I'm having conversations with leaders, men and women, who were on boards 10 years ago to figure out how we do this. And we're still having the same conversations in the Wesleyan Church. And so my encouragement is that, yes, we need to just keep having these conversations. And we have to use this in influence on the ground level. And we have to have this saturate from the top down, and it has to saturate in the middle. And we have to keep going and keep going and keep going until it works. Okay? Yeah? Okay. Let me just say a second. All right. Let's kick into 3 points today that I want to get to. You note takers, here we go. 1. Beliefs versus values. Beliefs versus values. You can believe in marriage and not getting divorced, but not value it enough to keep it a high priority and keep your marriage thriving. Do you agree? Okay. We can believe in discipleship and evangelism, but only invite our friends to hear the pastor on a Sunday morning, right? We can know that we're called to it, but not actually valued enough to have it cost us something. Mm. Rejection, being weird, being awkward conversations where I go, oh, I cannot believe that just came out of my mouth. Multiplication. We can believe in it, but not value it enough to have it cost us our resources to give away that high capacity, beautiful blessing leader to go with whoever God calls to go with them to start a new multiplication movement. We can believe in it, but not value it enough to cost us something. I see many denominational leaders and pastors who say they believe in women in ministry in all roles, but don't value it enough to have it cost something, to have it require more work, more energy, to get uncomfortable, to be judged. We check on our ASR every year. Yes, I believe in women in ministry. We can have pastors who are brought into the denomination who take two classes and they come in for reasons of multiplication or support from their previous complementary denomination and then say they believe but aren't in it to actually have. I had a friend released within the last year who a pastor was brought in from, transferred from a Baptist denomination and told her that she released her as her role for 8 years as associate pastor and interim lead pastor and said, you were disgraced in being ordained. That never should have been put on you, and released her. This is not 15 years ago. This is 5 months ago. And so we have to realize what we believe, but then we have to do the hard work of the Holy Spirit to actually say, what do we value? What do we value? Two, hurdles and hard truths. There are so many. I will list them out in the book, a few to get to today. We've believed lies from the enemy. We've believed lies from the enemy over the truth of the word. We've believed that it is dangerous to work together. We have believed that our men are too hypersexual and weak to be able to work with a woman and not fall to temptation. We have believed the lie that because what is celebrated trumps what God is calling us to do at the baseline. Celebrated numbers, multiplication, strategy, growth. I don't see kingdom fullness celebrated at district conferences, at denominational. I can't say that completely. I don't mean to be to over-exaggerate. It is not one of the scorecards that I see being achieved in our Wesleyan church. And for this to continue to grow and have it cost us something more, then it has to become one of those values that we celebrate and seek more of. So a little bit, stepping into the next point is tradition. Tradition and generational teachings. Why are we doing what we're doing? Why are we doing what we're doing? Skin cancer. Skin cancer came with science and studies real heavily in the early 1900s. We saw sunscreen created in the 1920s and 1930s. Cancer, what are we going to do? We're going to block it. There's a problem. It's killing people. We're going to block it. What happened was parents, being very responsible, were lathering their kids in sunscreen and sunblock. And what happened was they weren't able to get enough vitamin D. And there was a huge skyrocket in rickets. Rickets is a disease where the bones are brittle, they have holes in them, and the structure literally cannot hold up the child or into an adulthood, and the bones break and bow under the pressure. We have, unfortunately, real challenges in the church with moral failure, challenges working together in that way. But we have slathered on the sunscreen and put up a wall that says, oh, now we've got lung cancer, put on more sunscreen. Two cancers scare in sunscreen applications that I've observed, two main ones are the Billy Graham rule, coming from Billy Graham, and Bill Gothard. I don't have time to go over these. There'll be more written out in the book. But Billy Graham rule, into suffice, these were rules to protect a traveling Baptist global evangelist. Before FaceTime, before Zoom, away from their families for weeks on end, traveling in hotel rooms, and he was being baited by the media with women showing up to knock on the door to catch him in a fall. So they put in boundaries. We, as Wesleyan grassroots pastors, should not be taking our definition of leadership and how we do that from that glimpse. Okay? So that is one challenge that came in. And when I started sitting with brothers, which I have sat with intentionally, with 40 brothers in executive leadership and denominational roles, the only thing, there's two things from every single one of them. I was either taught the Billy Graham rule, including at Wesley Seminary, or I wasn't taught anything, but what I was shown and what I was warned of was Billy Graham rule, nature and tendency. Why are we doing what we're doing? What were we handed? What is God asking us to do? Next barrier. Bill Gothard. Bill Gothard, so we need to, it goes back even further from our, before we can get into the church in the work setting. We have to step back, one, to our own personal heart. We got to do the work with the Holy Spirit to do the work in our heart and figure out, what do I actually believe and value? What am I doing and what do I need to be doing, right? Then it goes to our marriages if you're married. If you're single, I just want to say, singleness is not a disease. Bless you. All for you in ministry. Okay, so now to our marriages. If we are complementarian in our marriage, meaning the man is superior and the woman is inferior, and the man's job is to lead and the woman's job is to follow, and then we take that in the workplace and become egalitarian and say, we're equals, we're all equipped by the Holy Spirit, and we're to work together by the gifting and equipping and sending, it is hard. What I hear from men, some of our brothers, is I've never heard a woman talk to me like that before. I've never heard a leader talk to me like that before. I've never heard a woman talk to me like that before. Well, how well is that going to be in a working relationship if we cannot bring God's truth together equally, submit to one another by the power of Christ, right? Right? By our gifting and calling to move forward together. So Bill Gothard brought in this marriage dynamic where, in vaguely broad, filling stadiums of 10,000 people, that the man heard from God. He was the Godhead of the family, and the woman was to listen and obey. A lot of abuse, you know, taking the hit for the Lord. This thing, just devastating too, bringing in seeds of lies by the enemy into the foundation of marriage, and sin leads to death. And here we slide into the workplace and we don't know how to work together because what we have at home. So we got to do the hard work. We got to have the hard conversations. One of the greatest tools to you that God has given to you is your spouse. You will be sanctified if you are married. It's the greatest sanctification. Next comes children, in my opinion, in my story. Next comes children, then comes ministry. So God has given us the tool of our spouse. We have to keep our spouse close. They should be the one who knows us absolutely best. And if their radars go up, or if they see behavior change, or the Spirit starts talking to them, we need to listen. We need to have them close, right? However, when we follow our spouse before we keep in step with the Holy Spirit, we get in trouble because we are all fallible. We all can fall to insecurities. We can have trust issues. We can have wounding. It didn't occur to me until I was in proximity. I was in closeness with a brother and leader and colleague and friend. And I had just experienced a myriad of issues with, I've never had my uterus so talked about in ministry. And I just was tired of, you know, it being a thing. But just trying to do ministry, all of this lateral and a backward energy going, can we not just get to work? And I lost my place. What did I just say?
Effort to
Were you really listening? I know. All we got was the uterus. Well, good. I'm glad that we started out with this isn't about women and all you got was the uterus. Well, maybe the Lord was stopping me there. Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes, and so he was sharing with me his wounding from a marital affair and a leader that was his lead pastor who was mentoring him and how that affected their marriage and how insecure his wife came and how can I trust and I love our marriage enough not wanting this to happen and look at the devastation from the church. And so if he was following her and keeping in step with her and deciding to not work with women anymore because it's too dangerous, we'd still be missing the mark. So we have to be very careful because our job is to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Our job is to listen to Him and listen to who He is using to speak into us to make that possible. Right? Okay. Exclusively male environments. Many of the environments that I've stepped into as a lead pastor have been all male. They didn't begin all male, or they began all male, but they didn't begin with the intentionality that you had to be male. But over time, it was all men, and then the culture shifted to being a male culture. And so we have to be aware that for women to enter into these places, we can invite them all we want, but if they are, they can easily do a slippery slope of becoming kind of hypersexual with jokes. Our vocabulary changes, our wives, men of God. And I'm not talking like, hey, guys, how you doing? Come on, let's get over the petty stuff. I'm talking about the culture shifting that now when a woman enters into that, we've lost bonding. We've lost closeness. Something's awkward. One of the groups I stepped into, first woman ever in the gathering had been 30 years meeting. And awkward. Nobody sat next to me. Literally, the chairs would fill up, and then the last ones. Like I had the plague, or I might like rape them or something. It was mortifying, and I felt dangerous, and I felt ashamed, and I felt dirty, and my greatest fear was that I was a distraction to what God wanted to do in that space. That was my greatest fear, and some men didn't memorized my name for a year. I was the only new one. I was the only woman. Katie is, it wasn't about that. But there was an advocate. And he hugged me and embraced me just like he did every other pastor. And when they would lay hands on rotation of pastors and nobody would touch me, he put his hand on my shoulder and everybody touched him. The next, I was not asked to speak at the gathering where we did once a year. This was not in the Wesleyan. This is in our pastoral association, our community. Let me state that. The first year, I just kept showing up, and I kept loving them, and I kept smiling and introducing myself again and sitting down, and I would sometimes get in my car and cry all the way home or call my husband and say, do you have 5 minutes because I just need a moment. But just stay there. And just, Lord, open my mouth when you want me to open my mouth, and shut my mouth when you want me to shut my mouth. That first year at the pastoral gathering, I was not involved in the ceremony at all. Each pastor was given 7 minutes. I was not asked to be a part of it. I don't want to plow my way in, so I'm going to smile, and I'm going to pray for the service and everything. The next year, after another year of just showing up, loving, letting the Holy Spirit work through me, just being, listening and obeying, they asked me to pray. All the people spoke, but they asked me to pray at the end. Wonderful. I'd love to do that. The next year, after 3 years together, they voted that I be the main speaker. And not to share, but just to have me speak. Because even the Baptist pastor came to me and said, I cannot deny the Holy Spirit's power working through you. We need you in our community. And I actually preached in his church. Yes. Now, that is not me, and that's not, whoa, not by my power, not by my might. That was because I showed up, and I loved well, oh, with grace, and I learned, and I listened, and I spoke when God asked me to, and I was consistent, and I was frequent, and I wasn't going anywhere. God did not release me from that, so I stayed with it. Now, if God had released me from that and I stayed there when He didn't have me there, it wouldn't have worked anyway. We got to listen. We got to obey. We got to keep in the Spirit. Practical inconveniences. So when I talk about all rules, so that's saying that like every man has the same rules with every woman in working with ministry. So because I have one body and you have another, these are the rules that define our proximity and working relationship. That's dangerous and ineffective. And it's killing the movement, Kingdom Fullness Movement. We have to look. The rules did not work for the Pharisees. We can look through all of Scripture. The rules didn't work. Jesus came to bring fullness to the law, right? But when we live through the law, we can become lazy. When we live on the law, we can become lazy. We need to keep in step with the Spirit. So when we look at all rules that say, I can't drive with the opposite gender, I can't go to a meal with the opposite gender, I can't travel with the opposite gender, these are just things, and I truly believe that not all brothers are against women in ministry and women in ministry in all roles, but when it comes to me and my church and respecting my leadership and protecting my church and loving and appreciating my marriage, that's not going to happen here. I've heard that. I'm not assuming. I've heard that from multiple pastors. But when we look at 75%+ of churches are 75 or less people, especially rural context, I don't have staff that works in the building. I do wear at the building per appointment. If I can't go out in public and have a meal, a business meal, if I can't ride in a car an hour and a half one way, I have to drive separate because the associate pastor I'm coming with has to drive separate because we have opposite genders. Meetings that I have to find somebody to come to the building to babysit us so that we're not being inappropriate together. These all rules are killing the movement in these practicalities that, okay, figure out what we have to do. I have my DS in the room, and he's going to love that I'm going to say this. But call your DS and say, I need funding because I need to take another person with me on this trip so that I can bring the woman who I'm equipping, who I'm raising up, who's going to plant my next church, who's going to take over for me when I leave to plant my next church. Okay? Call and ask them for funding to take on two residents instead of one. Say, I'm an advocate for Kingdom Fullness and for the Wesleyan Church to continue to thrive and multiply and live into the fullness of God. I need to raise up women, and this is what I'm comfortable doing to keep us safe and be working and equipping and sending. Okay? We've got to find a way to do these things. We've got to find a way to do these things. And this is what the book is about. The book is about the how. How do we do this? So we've got to step back and see what we're doing and why we're doing it. Leader shaming. I hear so many brothers who say, I'm not personally convicted that working with you is not okay, but my fill-in-the-blank authority, my brother's leadership, other pastors, what would they think? And so they live in the, I will lose respect, I could be canceled, I could be written off as promiscuous. There's a high cost to the gospel. Please man or please God? I know because I'm living it. I have an associate pastor who is male. I have men and women on my staff. I disciple men. I had a leader who the Lord was made it clear to me was going to be our next youth leader. He said, you're going to disciple him. He wasn't a Christian yet. You're going to disciple him. Okay. I was told by some elders who had been part of a legacy for our church plant who joined from a previous Wesleyan church. You're not allowed to do that. That's too dangerous. It's going to look bad. I said, watch me. The Lord has asked me to do it. He needs to be discipled. No one here else can disciple him, and I'm going to do it. And guess what? He was 23. I could have been his mother. But we need to get to work. This needs to be urgent. This needs to be urgent, and we got to stop saying, oh, if I work with that person, I'm going to end up having sex with them. Because the root of, if we dissect an affair, if we dissect a moral failing, the affair began far beyond touch, far before. It began with the heart. It was conceived here, sin was birthed, and then we have a problem. I can tell you from my experience, what I have experienced in the church is there are more affairs with a business relationship with the church than there are physical sexual affairs with people. Working 60, 70, 80 hours a week and putting the church before your marriage and your family, that's an affair. That's where it started. The church was the mistress, and it only came out in multiple different side effects. Okay? I was talking with Dr. Lyon, and she said in her 8 years as GS, she didn't deal with one affair that was pastor to pastor. And when it was all pastor to congregant or pastor to someone in the community. When I dissected the affairs of colleagues and friends of mine, not one of them was with a pastor to a pastor. It was a pastor to a colleague or a pastor to a community member. And when I'm having this conversation right now, I am talking about leaders and pastors working together. Jervie Windham, amazing man of God, so grateful for him. Huge Kingdom Fullness advocate. He taught me in the military that when you are of certain rank, you no longer have to have someone meeting with that same rank. But when you are first in and you are of lower rank, you must always bring someone else of your rank with you to talk to your authority. Always. However, when you get to this station, you've been vetted. You've proven your service. You've been through battle and training. And you have made it to a place where your integrity should be above board. Amen. So our trust can be above board while walking in the Spirit. While keeping us up with the Spirit. So when we're talking about congregants and people in the community and unbelievers and new believers, yes, we need to have we need to walk in Spirit and the definite evaluation of that. But this is talking about leader to leader. Okay, how do we build a Kingdom Fullness culture? How do we build a Kingdom Fullness culture? Discipleship. This is a discipleship issue. Women need to be sharing with men and women because women who leaders who happen to be women, who disciple men, are going to be discipling men and women. We cannot just be discipling women, cannot just be discipling women. And men cannot just be discipling men. Kingdom Fullness needs to be discipled into everyone. Speaking into this, our brothers, you need to learn these things. Whether you can understand it or not, you need to learn these things so that you can share them and invest them, these truths, into your leaders and pastors who are women. They are not victims, and they are not perpetrators. We are not dangerous because of our gender. We need to feel this. God is not okay with the quenching of the Spirit and Kingdom Fullness. He's not okay with it, so we shouldn't be okay with it. So don't become numb or push it aside. We need to feel it so that we can take it to the feet of Jesus and have Him deal with it so that we can not develop a root of bitterness, but continue to raise up and move forward. Men, we need to be discipling men and women to listen. To sit and create safe spaces. I was at a conference, and I had a brother who apologized to me for the way he was speaking to the group. I was the only woman there, and a pastor who happened to be a woman there. And he apologized to me for the way he was speaking in front of everybody while speaking. And I was like, why are you apologizing? He said, oh, well, the group before you was all men, and it's not respectful to talk like this in front of a woman. And I said, well, I thought you're a leader talking to leaders, not a man talking to men in front of a woman. And so we have to look at some of that. But he came to me afterwards, okay, we got to do the hard work. So I didn't want to, and I was sweating bullets, but I've got to go and follow the Spirit. And the Spirit was telling me, this is a brother who's worth investing in. He's a catalytic multiplier. And so I got to have this hard conversation, but I want to do it lovingly and boldly. And we cannot disciple someone we hate. We cannot disciple someone we hate. And we cannot love We cannot truly help people if we do not love them. So we have to do the work, because Jesus had uncompromising, he had an uncompromising call. He called to holiness, but he did it unapologetically with great compassion and patience. He was fully present in the healing process. And that is our goal, is to bring an uncompromising belief, an uncompromising presence of the truth of God's word, presenting his kingdom fullness unapologetically with love and compassion.
Amen.
Women, never apologize for being an inconvenience, for changing the dynamic of a tone. If God called you, it wasn't a conference call. He asked you to be there, and he's asking you to follow through, and you can love people through it. Brothers and sisters, sit together. Listen. Really listen. Listen to your brother's wounding and experience why the things are the way they are. It just blew me away when I sat with my brothers in leadership and the things that they had to say. I was just, wow, I never knew that. And then I said, oh, I can help with that. We can work together, actually. Let me share my experience with you. And we can actually partner. And I've seen such fruit and healing through that. 9:45.
Just close it.
Yeah.
Mark, you got a lot of meat
on it. A lot of meat? You got something?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Then let's just pray. Holy Spirit, we cannot do this without you. We do not want to do this without you. We need you. Lord, take away what is us, make us less, that you may increase. God, show us what it looks like to step into these hard places, to have the cost, to have the conversation, to forgive, to reconcile, to heal, to do the hard work so that your kingdom may be advanced and your church may be unleashed, Lord, for the Wesleyan church to experience the movement. There is revival coming in your church. You say that you are within your church and she will not fall. And I believe that. But Lord, for the Wesleyan church to be a part of that, there must be reformation. We must step into the fullness of men and women, lay and clergy, multi-ethnicity, multi-generational, for us to be able to keep up with what you want to do. So Lord, by your power and your might, help us to do that. And we will praise you and give you all the glory along the way. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We love you. And everyone said in Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen.